Good evening, everybody. Welcome, or good morning, depending on when you watch this. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is Championship Week Video Notebook, Final Edition, Day 13. We have just finished the final Saturday. There's only five games left before selection, so will be announced. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica.
Yeah.
Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org back with us again, and David Griggs as well. And David. Still in the puppet bunker, but we got news. It was a huge hit last night. We once again have free chili.
Oh, yes, we do. We have free chili. So for all the lucky viewers, you just, use the promotional code that we have and you get free chili.
Yep, use the promotional code, log on to the special site. And the chili site, not the regular website.
It's right,
the
chili site.
Okay. Or you can call in if you have any questions about the chili.
Yeah, just call in. Yeah.
Okay. Phone's right here if anybody calls.
We're ready. Okay.
Let's start with some of actually a little news and notes before we get to anything. There was a little bit of news in the coaching world today where some good news actually for Tony Bennett named the USBWA Coach of the Year. Basketball Writers Association Coach of the Year, USBW.
It's the it's the Henry Ivo Award.
Okay, gotcha. Why didn't you just say the Henry Ivo Award?
Because I didn't. Not so good news for either Mark Fox at Georgia or Kevin Ollie at UConn, and especially Kevin Ollie at UConn. Not only did he lose his job, but they don't even want to pay him the buyout because they're claiming it's for cause.
Good luck with that. Essentially, what this is going to end up in is they're going to pay him the buyout plus the legal fees of fighting not having to pay the buyout.
I just wonder if maybe what they do is they set this up for a real quick settlement where they buy him out for less than the full $10 million, I think, that his buyout called for. You know, say, hey, listen, instead of paying the legal fees to fight this, we'll give you six or eight right now.
Perhaps.
I can see.
Yeah.
But anyhow, want to get on to the games?
Yeah, sure. Let's get going.
Okay. It was championship day in a ton of conferences. And, Rocco, let's start with the ACC championship game where Virginia, North Carolina. And how about Virginia just looking very strong in this event, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, they did everything that they possibly could do. They've won all their games. And as our friend John Titel pointed out earlier, during our committee meetings, it's a school record 31 wins for Virginia. And it's really impressive when you think back to the preseason. And this team was not ranked in the preseason top 25. And, it's kind of rare for – not only are they the number one overall seed, but they're the dominant number one overall seed. It's not even a debate. So unbelievable coaching job by him and great performance by this team all year.
Yeah,
again,
really.
According to the Vegas odds, David, that Virginia's fourth or fifth top pick to win the NCAA tournament, not number one, which I think goes to Villanova. I think Duke is two. I think Michigan State may even outrank Virginia. Do you get that?
I don't know. I mean, if you're basing it on their offensive output, I can kind of see that. I don't really know what the odds makers look at, but they are pretty good, and it isn't just that they. If it's not the best conference in the country, it's arguably one of the best. It's definitely in the league. They won it going away. Their only loss in conference was at home to Virginia Tech, a team they absolutely clobbered earlier in the year. And just, it wasn't so much that Virginia Tech beat them, not to take anything away from Vatech, but UVA kind of blew that when they, if you recall the circumstances in which they lost that game, they kind of had it completely under control and then blew it. Only other loss was West Virginia. They beat everybody else, and it's not like they were playing cupcakes. I mean, they blew through a very tough schedule.
So congratulations to the Hoos. There's very little doubt they will be the number one overall team when the field gets announced tomorrow evening. John, it was also the championship game in the Big East Conference. If the ACC is arguably not number one, it's because the Big East may be putting 2-1 seeds in, right?
Yep, it certainly became a little bit easier with both Carolina and Duke losing. Although it seemed like today the most notable thing coming out of the Big East was Providence for the third day in a row actually going overtime, but unfortunately they weren't able to hold off Villanova in this one despite a late comeback at the end of regulation.
Yeah, and Rocco, Providence, a real nice run in this tournament. Do you think they can carry that into the NCAA tournament, cut off of beating Xavier and almost taking down Nova?
I mean, they're playing great right now, and they like the big stage. So, but, you know, a lot of the – we see this a lot with the Big East tournament. You know, there's a part of the culture of the Big East where I don't know if it happens with the players and the coaches, but I know from the fans that they take the Big East tournament so seriously that they would rather make a run there than the NCAAs, which sounds crazy, but I've heard fans say it. I think just going off the last few years, Seton Hall won the tournament last year, and then they came out flat in the NCAAs. This tournament takes a lot out of you. You play 3 games in 3 days. So, you know, hopefully for Providence's sake, they'll get a draw where they can play on Friday, get the extra day of rest, and then they can also maybe get a favorable matchup. But NCAA tournament's all about matchups and where you get sent. So we'll have to wait and see and talk about that again on Monday.
Well, and we will.
I think it was 2 years ago that Seton Hall won. Did they win it last year too? I don't even remember.
No, Villanova beat Creighton last year.
Yeah, well, but I apologize. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So. David, championship day in the Big 12 and a real fun game. Kansas just the last couple of minutes pulled away from West Virginia, but this was a fun game throughout, wasn't it?
It was real close back and forth. It was the third really close game that these three teams have played, and it was the third one that Kansas had won. Kansas, again, this conference was ridiculously hard. You know, top to bottom, I don't think there was anybody else to the point to where we had a team in the 8-9 game, actually both of them in the 8-9 game that we ended up selecting for our field. Is it possible that they could get 8 teams out of 10 in, or even 9 out of 10? And it's crazy how good this league was. And Kansas was the outright first place finisher again, and they won the conference tournament. If that doesn't land them on the one line, I don't know what the hell does.
I think it lands them on the one line. I think it lands them number 3 overall at least also, which means that they're not going to get sent out west. I anticipate they will be going in the Midwest region. Which I think Villanova is going to be in the East region. And that 4th-1 seed, I think it goes to Xavier right now heading out west. But, you know, maybe there's a Carolina or Duke argument. I just don't think that's that strong after both teams did the same thing Xavier did, which is lose in their conference tournaments.
Right.
Pac-12 championship game in a semi-major conference. Arizona took care of USC, pulled the double now, won both the regular season and the conference tournament. So let me start with the first question. Stalika, let me ask this one to you. Arizona, are they within the top 4 seed lines, what we call a protected seed?
I would say yes, given the double here, especially since they went through both UCLA and USC to get to that point.
Yeah, and Rocco, the other question coming out of the Pac-12, USC finished 2nd in the standings, made it to the championship game, might not be in the NCAA tournament. And yet it's either finished 9th in the standings, might be there.
Crazy, right? So I think USC will find their way in. I know that they're a hotly debated team right now. Break it down further tomorrow, but as of right now, I think they're in. And the reason for that is they're still, even after the refresh tonight, 33 in the RPI, and they played a pretty solid schedule compared to the rest of the bubble. So I know that the wins are lacking in terms of top tier wins. But they did have a collection of mid-tier wins, and they proved themselves on the road. I think that's going to be enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. They won road games. They beat mid-tier teams. They just didn't beat tournament teams. And I would have really liked to have seen at least one notable win, an Arizona win, something like that. They even got swept by UCLA. That hurts. I'm not quite there on them, but we'll see what happens very soon. But
New Mexico State is in. So. Yep.
Yeah.
That helps maybe a smidge.
Before we get to New Mexico State, let's turn to the Mountain West tournament, which was a tournament where we do believe Nevada will be in. Therefore, a bit stolen here if you want to look at it that way, or a spot failed to open up if you want to look at it the other way. But either way, San Diego State got by New Mexico, as we predicted.
Well, they've been playing really well down the stretch. They played really well in this tournament. This was a really, really entertaining game. First of all, like San Diego State, sort of played with their food, as Stalica likes to say, a little too much until the latter part of the season. But in the second half of conference play, they really kicked it into gear. And had they played like that all year, they wouldn't have needed to win this tournament. But they did win it. And at the rate they're going, I think they're going to be in the 12-13 range, but probably the 12. They're a dangerous 12 seed the way they've been playing. It wouldn't shock me at all if they got past the round of 64, and depending on how things fall, maybe even a round further than that. But the other side to this is New Mexico also got off to a horrendous start. They were 3-8. There was so much, there was just, the energy had been completely zapped of it. There was so much frustration, not just with the team, but the fans that support it. This traditionally a very well-supported team. But after that 3-8 start, I think they went 16-6 from that point on. Great coaching job, great job for this program. And while they didn't win the day, and a win the day would have been really, really big for them, I think there's way more to be excited about moving forward than not. They've got reasons to be excited again in Albuquerque,
which is good, because that's a program that's so much fun to follow when things are going well there, and it's been so rough the last years, but it was not. And I think that helps boost this entire conference up. That's one of those foundation programs. When New Mexico is down in the Mountain West, it's almost like if North Carolina was having a lousy year in the ACC. It just things just don't feel right in the conference.
Right, and it's a rabid fan base, and it was. I mean, you watched them in around December, and the building was half full. You're just not used to seeing that, but it's going to be full again.
Well, Rocco already gave it away, but New Mexico State did win the WAC tournament over our former team of the people, those beloved Grand Canyon Antelopes. First ever WAC tournament, make a nice run, but New Mexico State was just too much for them tonight. John, what about this New Mexico State team? How far do you think they go in the NCAA tournament? Can they win a game? Can they win two games?
I don't know about two games, but one game is certainly possible given that they've gone, I think, 4 out of the past 5 years, but I think it's going to depend on the matchup that we'll find out tomorrow night.
All right. Well, let's over through some other championship games. Rocco, Conference USA title game today ended up being a real fun one between Marshall and Western Kentucky.
Oh, it was a fantastic game. I mean, Marshall kept growing the lead to 10. I think they did it 2 or 3 times, even as late as a few minutes left. I want to say maybe 4 or 3 minutes left. And WKU would come right back. Marshall's defense, as we talked about earlier tonight, amongst the committee, is not known for their for stopping people. It's a wide-open system, and it's good because they can score points in bunches, but they can also – give up points in bunches. This is a very interesting team coming into the tournament. They have a player, John Elmore, who is player of the year in the conference. So very cool to see him make it on the big stage. Very anxious to see who they draw. I would imagine they'll be in the 13 area, which gives them an opportunity to maybe pull off a decent size upset.
John, I know who I want to see him play.
John, you got a little tribute to Marshall going on there, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be their first bid in 31 years, going back to the 1987 season, back when they were in the SoCon.
And what about your outfit there?
Oh, that would be the Dan D'Antoni tuxedo right here. Jacket and T-shirt.
Jacket and T-shirt. There we go.
Right. Done well there. And he's quite a character. Like, when they hired him, I'm like, who the hell? This guy has no coaching experience at all, virtually, at least at the college level. But he's done very well at Marshall. He's got them going in the right direction.
David, yeah, they hired.
What's it?
Go ahead, Rocco.
I was just going to say they're playing. He basically adopted the old Phoenix Suns system from his brother, and he tried to translate it to college, and it's taken a couple of years of tweaks to figure out what works, what doesn't work, and it looks like he's found the right formula this year. So it's kind of a cool story.
Yeah. Kind of is.
David, the day started off in the America East today where we saw the upset of the day as well, I think.
Yeah, one of them. Vermont had been blowing through this conference, not just this year, but last year as well. Senior-laden team. They won 25, 26 games, whatever it was. Had won 100 games in a four-year period. That's a lot by a senior class. And it, I mean, I'm sure Vermont will end up in a postseason tournament of some kind, but you were expecting them to roll today, even when they went into the half after a sluggish first half. They'd had sluggish first halves before, and you just kind of expected them to open it up. And they did, but UMBC, they just couldn't shake them, and they hung in there. And they hit a very dramatic last-second shot to get to the NCAA tournament. This was a program that 2 or 3 years ago was so bad that they were outside the RPI top 300, winning just 3 and 4 games a year. A very dramatic turnaround. The coach's name slips my mind. Odom. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Ryan Odom.
Yeah, Ryan Odom. He's done a fantastic job getting them not just, I mean, completely turned around. I mean, a worst-to-first situation there and a big win for their program today, not just for their season, but for their whole program, I think, getting it turned around that quickly.
0-23 against Vermont all-time had to get to this game. What a huge win for them. Second-ever NCAA tournament bid. Congrats to the Retrievers. Probably headed for a 14 or 15 seed, but
– yeah, probably so.
Also championship game today in the Mid-American Conference. John, we saw Buffalo take care of a shorthanded Toledo team that was without one of its best players, unfortunately for them.
I mean, this game seemed to be pretty similar to New Mexico State and Grand Canyon, where Buffalo was able to keep Toledo at arm's length, but didn't really blow it open until very late in this one.
Yeah, and Rocco, how dangerous is this Buffalo team?
I think they're pretty dangerous. I mean, they at the start of the new year, Wes Clark became eligible to transfer from Missouri. And you can tell right away with their style of play. He came back, I think, for the Syracuse game, which was a close loss. Then they had to go play Texas A&M, I believe, 2 days later, and they kept it close with them. So two tournament caliber teams, and then really kind of took control of this conference from the get and carried it out here in the conference tournament despite having a couple slip-ups late. And so I think this team is set up roster-wise to be really competitive, as Mr. Tytel's pointed out many times. Nick Perkins is the two-time sixth man of the year. So not only do they have a strong starting lineup, they have a good bench. A couple other guys come off the bench and contribute as well. You know, of course, it always comes down to the matchups. I think they need to match up with a smaller team. Their biggest guy is 6'10", but after that it's 6'6", under. So we'll see who they get matched up with. But it's a very good team. They play well together, and they have talent.
David, we had a giveaway last night. We announced that if anybody was having trouble getting to the Big Sky tournament, we were going to give them free chili.
Yes.
The lines were huge, but the game was played, and Montana fell down big early to Eastern Washington. We're down at halftime.
Down double digits for most of the first half, maybe even at halftime, and then they just completely kicked it in the gear, hit the gas. The Grizz going back to the NCAA tournament. Wherever it is they're playing, I bet they have more fans there at that one game than they had this whole tournament combined. Montana, generally well-supported, although a lot of these teams are, really. You wouldn't know it to watch the tournament, though. The Big Sky is considering moving their tournament to India to try and help with some of the population overcrowdedness there, kind of thin things out, make it a little more – anyway.
But in reality, they are moving to Boise, Idaho next year. Maybe a little more fan involvement there than in Reno, which is just, I think, is just too far away from most of these schools to kind of create problems. Rocco, it was Big West championship game. Last game we saw right before we started recording this, and what a thrilling game. So well played.
Yeah.
It was a little messy out there. But, you know, they get these poor guys got to wait all the way till 9 o'clock to play. I guess that's normal on the East Coast too, but it's different on the West Coast because the moment we wake up, we get basketball. Like I woke up this morning, got 8 a.m. game with UMBC in Vermont, And you know they're just sitting around watching, and they probably watched 6 to 8 games before they even did stretching and shoot around. And I think the anticipation for both these teams who were not expected to be in the final probably got to them. There's a lot of sloppiness, but Fullerton proved to be the dominant team. Irvine couldn't get out of their funk, and they pulled away with it. And, you know, Fullerton's played pretty well. They pulled off a couple upsets along the way, and they might sneak onto the 15 line. We'll see.
It was championship day, John, in the MEAC. Hampton and North Carolina Central. Hampton's last ever game in the MEAC. They couldn't quite get it done, though.
Yep, and was it the post-game celebration also started a little prematurely for NC Central? But
oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
I guess you had to wonder why the refs would, call to the letter and not just let the clock run out in this instance.
Yeah, the refs called a technical for NC Central's players starting to run to the court to cheer with 1 second left, and then we had a 5-minute delay while they reviewed it on replay, and it was just and then shot free throws. It was kind of ridiculous, but yeah. There was a 5-way tie for first place heading into the final game of the regular season of this conference, and none of those 5 teams won it. It was the 6th place team, NC Central, defending champions from last year, though, so back in the big dance again, David, and on the way to Dayton most.
Yeah, on their way to Dayton, I think, again, for the second year in a row, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're home away from home, Dayton, Dave, Ohio.
The team that's probably not going to Dayton is the Lumberjacks, who, despite the 3 seed in the Southland, did win 3 games in 3 days.
Yeah, this is a good team that didn't always play well, but is certainly capable of it. They were really strong out of conference. In fact, so strong, at least I was expecting them to just roll through this league. Didn't happen, but they kind of did roll through the tournament. Sela was a team I think Rocco liked all year. I didn't really start buying into them until close to the halfway point of conference play. So you had them. You had Nichols State, who actually also went down to SFA in the quarterfinals, but a couple of good storylines here. But ultimately, even though they may not have been the most deserving team, and well, not maybe about it, they weren't. I do think they're the team that's best equipped to win a game in the round of 64 if anybody from this league was going to do it.
All right. Well, we have 6 more conferences to go through. Let's start with the ones that were the semifinals, though, including one other semifinal we'll get to in a moment here. But let's start off with the SEC semifinals. And Rocco, we saw.
What about the SWAC?
I said we'll go to the semifinals now, John. Calm down. We'll get there.
Yeah.
SEC semifinals, Rocco, we saw Kentucky beat Alabama and Tennessee beat Arkansas, and wasn't really worth the price of the tickets, say, was it?
No, these outcomes were pretty much determined by halftime. And you know, you'd hope one of them would make a run to make it interesting, but I think Alabama was just a little out of gas. I think they're really satisfied with their blowout comeback against Auburn. And, you know, once Kentucky started pulling away, you could just kind of feel the energy come out of Alabama. And I think they've got the general feeling that they're going to be safely in with those 2 wins they achieve here. With the Tennessee-Arkansas game, I think we got to give them some credit. They've had a solid year all year. This is one more chance for any of the doubters to be right about them, and they're proving all the doubters wrong and, you know, beat a solid Arkansas team handily today.
You think they take down Kentucky tomorrow?
I'm actually going to pick Kentucky. I just think that it's March, and this is usually where Kentucky teams, especially since they're so young, start to really gel, and, you know, I'll take Kentucky. We'll see.
John, it was American semifinal day. Cincinnati over Memphis, eliminating any chance that Memphis was going to steal a bid. And a fun game between Wichita and Houston. I'm sorry.
Well, it was also a fun game between Cincinnati and Memphis because the Tigers actually led by as many as 14 in the first half and also had a sizable lead before Cincinnati just completely flipped the script in the second half with a 24-point turnaround. But definitely the game of the day was the latter one between Wichita State and Houston, which saw numerous lead changes and also a clutch steal by Rob Gray for Houston late in that one to help seal it for Houston.
David, this is the late game tomorrow. Arguably, it may not have any effect whatsoever on the committee or very, very little impact because of how late it tips, and that's not going to affect who's in the field or not. But what do you think happens in this game between Cincinnati and Houston?
I don't know. Like, if I have to pick a winner, I guess I'm going to go with Cincinnati, but I could easily see Houston win it. They've been playing really well in the latter part of the season. They already have a win over Cincinnati, albeit it was at home and not on a neutral site. This is kind of a different animal. But they've got a lot of momentum going. This is a program that hasn't had a lot to feel good about in a while. They have not won a tournament game since Guy Lewis last coached there. So this is probably the best. This is the best team they've had in a while. And this program, it's not a blue blood program, but it is one with a lot of history. You know, the Phi Slamma Jamma, the Astrodome game, multiple Final Fours. So it's kind of good to see them relevant again. In the rankings, win or lose, and definitely going back to the NCAA tournament. As far as what it means, our committee kind of discussed this a little bit tonight. I know we're going to get to that, but I don't think a win or a loss for either team changes who they are. You know, Cincinnati's already finished first, and Houston's already beaten Cincinnati. So does a win or a loss either way really affect who either team is? I don't think so. I don't think the committee is really going to look at it at all.
Right. And it was also semifinal day in the Atlantic 10. And we talked about the fact that Arizona did win the Pac-12, avoided USC potentially stealing a bid if you think USC is out. Because we have Cincinnati and Houston meeting the American final, there won't be a bid stolen there. But Rocco, the Bonnies fell to Davidson. A shorthanded Bonnies team, but still, we might have a bid steal here in Davidson, and we might have the Bonnies in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. You know, when we found out earlier today that they would be missing one of their key guys, and then they had an injury actually during the game as well, things really fell apart for the Bonnies. And Davidson's been playing some excellent basketball of late. You know, they've skyrocketed up the metrics. They're the top Atlantic 10 team right now. They're 43rd in KenPom, and Rhode Island slipped down to 48. So, you know, I'll be interested to see if possibly in Las Vegas tomorrow they might actually be anticipating a bid steal. Be interesting to see what that looks like. But, yeah, Davidson playing great ball. It should be a great final unless Rhode Island, the bad Rhode Island, shows up.
John, Rhode Island struggled a lot with St. Joe's, who had just clobbered them the other week, but did sneak by them, and just kept coming off a recent loss to Davidson as well. Can they get the revenge there?
They can certainly get the revenge factor against Davidson, but at the same time, we were very close to being 100% assured of a bid being stolen because St. Joe's had played very well today. They only had a 9-point lead as opposed to their earlier meeting where they led by, I think, 30 at halftime.
I think it was 375 points, David.
Yeah, I think it was. It was about 375, 373, somewhere in that area. Yeah.
David, Sun Belt Conference semifinals today.
Yes. Louisiana going down to Texas Arlington. I didn't think they would win this tournament. I'm a little surprised UTA beat them. UTA really playing well here down the stretch, though, and now they played their way into the championship game, almost the inverse of last season, where they were actually on our bubble going into last year's tournament, but then had just a devastating injury. But Georgia State, in a tight win against their rival Georgia Southern, had a little more trouble than what we thought. Classic moment here, just a huge miscommunication coming out of a timeout late in the game. Georgia State was up 3 with the ball, and the shot clock was off, and they were, after a kicked ball, reset the shot clock, and they're coming out of a timeout, and Ron Hunter basically drew up what he wanted, get it to a good free throw shooter, let them foul you. That is not what happened. A kid, they just inbounded the ball, and he took the most ill-advised shot ever, hit it, and even though he hit it, Ron Hunter was still pretty unhappy.
Yeah, he hoists up a 3 like he wasn't paying attention to the huddle which is probably more likely, and didn't hear realize that the shot clock had reset, but he really thought that the shot clock had not reset, so he just throws up a three, hits it, and that kind of was what locked in the win there for Georgia State. Yeah. Rocco, how about this Arlington team, though, tomorrow against Georgia State?
Yeah, I like this Arlington team. I mean, I've been tweeting about them a little bit. I've been following them very closely because I got to watch their game in the preseason non-conference schedule against Alabama. That was a back-and-forth game with Purvey trading baskets with Colin Sexton. And this team looked like a legitimate bubble team, possible if they didn't even win their Sun Belt tournament here. And Eric Neal's an outstanding point guard. But throughout the year, they went through a little bit of a funk. And like David said, you know, they had an opposite of what they usually do. They usually expected to win, and they have a great non-conference, and then they kind of choke in this tournament. Now this year, they've had their slump already. They've won five in a row. And one thing I did some digging on and found out is after their last loss, which was actually against Louisiana on February 17th, they went to a lineup change, and they started bringing Hervey in off the bench. And so the five games they've brought Hervey in off the bench, he's technically the sixth man now. They're 5-0, and it's working well for Coach Cross. So, I don't see a slip up, but you know they've surprised us before. So I will cautiously pick them to win tomorrow against Ron Hunter's team.
This is the Tim Kluse syndrome in another fashion, because let's not forget, Iona has had better teams in the past that have failed to come out of the Metro Atlantic, but it might be Texas Arlington's time with a lesser team, but still one win away from the NCAA tournament here.
David, we kicked off the Ivy League tournament today where Cornell stuck in the game with Harvard for about most of the first half before Harvard turned it on. Yale stuck in the game with Princeton for most of the first minute before – sorry, with Penn. For most of the first minute before Penn turned it on. But we have the championship game we were expecting between Penn and Harvard. So what do you think was going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah, if you stayed home today, you were lucky. Anyway, I just – Harvard has been disappointing all year, at least in terms of how good we thought they were going to be back in October and November. I know they're one game away from the NCAA tournament. We thought they would be fringe bubble, maybe even inside the bubble. Don't really know why they struggled as much as they did. So I don't want to rule them out because it's still the same roster of players and they still have that same ceiling. But given how the season has gone and given that Penn is virtually at home, I know they'll split the tickets, but still, it's where Penn plays. I got to go with Penn.
Yeah, Rocco, you agree with that?
I do. Yep. It's in the Palestra. You got to give the edge to Penn.
Right. I tried to jump the gun on this, but it was semifinal day in the SWAC as well. A single semifinal game where Texas Southern.
Yeah. What? Well, I'm a little concerned because I'm watching the game and the graphic was – now, they corrected it for a while because we were talking about this on Twitter. They were saying it was the championship game. Then it went away. Then it said it again. But I think they had a trophy presentation after this game. Chad, I thought you were supposed to be taking care of this.
Well, I thought that this was a semifinal. Texas Southern beat at Pine Bluff, and now the winner plays Grambling. Isn't that what it was supposed to happen?
Well, yeah, that's what we set up, and they never called back to tell us that they weren't doing that, so I don't know what's going on here. But they had a trophy presentation.
We called the NCAA last night, and they told us.
Yes.
Well, they got the call back from them, didn't you, David?
Well, no, they didn't call back. That's why I wasn't worried. I had figured that if they weren't going to approve it, they would have told us.
So you're saying that Grambling is not going to be in the NCAA tournament this year?
Well, no, you're the one that was supposed to take care of this.
Well, I guess Texas Southern, congratulations. Mike Davis back in the NCAA tournament with the win over Pine Bluff. And we're going to have a serious talk about this at our next Hoops HD staff meeting, David, because somebody dropped the ball on this one.
We called.
Sorry about that, Grambling. We tried. We really did try. Unfortunately, it looks like your season is over. We did have meetings, though, today in our – oh, actually, before we get to that, John, our team of the people, Cal Baptist, had their second-round game in the Division II tournament tonight.
Yep, it was actually their fourth win of the season against Azusa Pacific, which is going to be one of their PacWest rivals. So they're going to end up facing Western Oregon in the West Regional Final.
Yeah, and Rocco, you're out there on the West Coast. I don't know how much you follow the D2, but Western Oregon might be a little too much for the Lancers. But
No, don't be silly. Don't
think they can get that spot.
Yeah, the Wolves, they've had a great year. They played really well against St. Martin's, but I know St. Martin's depends on the three, so I imagine they just weren't hitting tonight. You could see in Western Oregon's first game they got a little scare from Point Loma. We all know the Lancers own Point Loma. So don't count the Lancers out. They can do it, even if it's at the Wolves' gym.
Well, that game is coming up Monday night at 10 p.m., so we'll have a little news about it on the website on Tuesday morning, so keep an eye out for that. But let's go ahead and pull that down and now go on to what happened in our mock NCAA selection committee. We had a full, very long night of meetings tonight, and we have a field and we have seed list. And John, you want to tell us a little bit about it? What happened?
Well, one of the first things we did was after making a motion to take Oregon off of our under consideration board, we spent quite a bit of time debating the merits of teams like St. Bonaventure, Marquette, Louisville, Oklahoma State. We actually had a motion from Chad before we even started the debate to remove St. Bonnie from at-large and move him back to under consideration. But after some careful deliberation, we ended up voting Oklahoma State, Louisville, St. Bonaventure, and Marquette at the time was going to be our contingency team out of the A-10, but while we were scrubbing the master seed list, we ended up making a motion to the point where Marquette would be in the field and St. Bonaventure would be the last team in the field if Rhode Island wins. But if Davidson ends up winning the A-10 title, the Bonnies are going to the NIT.
Yeah, and just a few notes here about what you're looking at. You see that there's a 71 teams in the seed list. That's because we've included everybody that's still playing in there. When the Sun Belt, A-10, and Ivy League games go final tomorrow, three teams will fall out. We'll have a 68 final seed list. 68. We'll have another meeting tomorrow to review our seeding, maybe review our final selections again. Hopefully not. I'm kind of happy with it, but and then we'll do our bracketing, David.
Yep.
And so look to the website probably sometime a little after 4 o'clock, maybe 4:30, you should see our final bracket, I think.
Yeah, or we might, because of the Sun Belt game, we might just go ahead and get one up a little earlier because those two teams are close enough to where we'll
some point after 3 o'clock, maybe as late as 4:30, but sometime in that time period, you should see the final bracket here. And
and before you go, we have a one final footnote where the first four teams that are going to be out of the field are the four teams that are crossed out under consideration. That's Arizona State, Baylor, St. Mary's, and USC.
Yeah. And I know, Rocco, you don't think that's what the actual committee is going to do. You think that USC at least is going to be in the field, maybe more of those teams also.
We'll see. I mean, right now, that's where I think it's going to go. I'm actually going to be up much, much later tonight doing my own revisions, and I'll put up a version in the morning tomorrow and then a final version right before the show comes on. But in terms of where I have it right now, I think USC would still be alive. But it's very close. And I think we all agreed earlier that there's about eight or nine teams for four spots.
So yeah. I think
I'll be looking at that very carefully tonight.
It might even be for five spots. I'm not 100% right. Oklahoma is locked in there, but that's kind of more. It's normally like probably about five teams or four teams for two spots. So I think you can see a lot more of the bracketologists out there missing the field, missing multiple teams this year than we've seen in a while, just because of it's a strong bubble. And I don't remember ever saying, David, hey, we have a strong bubble.
Yeah, it is. Most of the time, it's it seems like going into the championship, the bubble's except really weak. We always talk about, oh, it's weaker than it's ever been. It normally isn't. We just think it is, and it takes a couple teams a while through to play their way in through conference tournaments. But not this year. Should be a good field.
Well, our survival board is up there on the screen now. You can find the link to it right up there on the website. But heading into the play today, there were 98 teams left with a chance to win the national championship. There was a ton of action tonight, a lot of teams getting knocked out, and maybe we should go straight to the results.
Yep. And
there it is. 81 teams left with the national championship. And this board here, Dave, is actually a service we do for the NCAA, correct?
Yes, it's a service for the committee. It was hard to get it down. I mean, it's at 81 teams. We normally like to get it down to the mid-70s. It'll be at 78 after the games tomorrow. It could be as low as 78 because there's some of the teams in italics there. So we didn't help the committee out quite as much as we could some years, but a lot of that was just due to circumstance. But what we did do was, I mean, we essentially told them, we're down to 81, aren't they? I mean, there's 351 teams. We have identified the 81 that the committee needs to be looking at so they can come onto this site, look at it, and know what they're supposed to be doing.
Right. And there's different ways to look at teams. If you look at a team that's in bold and all caps, like Virginia, like Villanova, like Kansas, those are teams that have won automatic bids. They have to be in by rule. Not even
a
thing to think about. You look at other teams that are just in regular bold, not in all caps, like a Providence, a Xavier, Kansas State. These are teams that you don't have to think about whether they're in or not. They are in, David, correct?
Yeah, the committee just needs to – that's how they know to take teams. They come here and they look at it and they see a team's in bold. They know to take them.
Now, if you see a team that's in italics, that's the work.
That's the real work there.
So they do have to do something. They have to figure out the teams in italics, in or not. How many spots do we have? How many can we get in?
Right.
Finally, we have teams that – some teams left that are regular type, like you see Harvard and Penn at the top of the screen there. You don't have to think about those. One of those will be in when they win tomorrow. The other one will be out, and that's
right.
That.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So what if a team isn't on the board? What if they're sitting there thinking, what about Central Arkansas, the Southland Conference?
Oh, well, I mean, you just don't think about them. You just don't. They're not on the board. Now, they were on the board up until whenever the Southland tournament got underway, but they're not on the board now, so you don't need to think about them anymore.
So 81 teams left that they could debate. Out of that, they've got to put 68 teams in. Like I said, there'd be three more that should come off tomorrow, at least two, maybe three.
Yeah.
Around 78, 79 teams for their final debate. Leave about 10 off, put everyone else in.
Right, yeah. And it's – I mean, I like to think that we're helping them out. I mean, you know, some years we do better than others. But with all that we do here, I just like to make sure that their job's easier and that they're doing it right.
Well, Rocco, you're a noted bracketologist with your website, bracketeer.org. How important do you think the survival board is for your work that you do?
Yeah, I would probably not even put a bracket up tomorrow if I didn't have the survival board. That's my number one resource. Otherwise, I wouldn't know what teams to put in.
Yeah, there you go.
You might have put Central Arkansas in as a one seed, right?
Yeah, against Grambling, for sure.
Yeah.
What else do we have left to do here?
Oh, it's the trivia question. Now that the week's over, are you going to finally let me out of the bunker?
Yes, it is. Tomorrow is the last day of championship week. This is our last video notebook.
Why do you lock me in the bunker every year?
We lock you in the bunker.
We never used to do this. You know,
we've been giving you a chance every night to get out. We have our panel of Hoops HD experts have come up with trivia questions.
Screw your panel. They've gotten every question
correctly
wrong.
What's in the envelope? You get out of the puppet bunker. This is your last chance to get out. David, if you do not get this one correct, you're going to be in the puppet bunker until the end of the NCAA tournament. This is the last one you have. I'm not going to have another chance to ask you a question. A lot of pressure here, right, John?
Yep, because I just noticed there's no more envelopes remaining on his desk.
None more left over here. This is the last one. Okay, David, listen to the question carefully. See if you can give the answer that's in the envelope. Name the two teams whose rivalry series is nicknamed the Border War that finally met in an exhibition game this year after going over 5 years without playing each other?
Well, I know the answer. I mean, it's the one that I've been lobbying for these teams to play each other. I've called the universities. I've called the NCAA. I've written the president to get these two to play each other. I know the answer. It's Kansas and Missouri. Everyone knows it's Kansas and Missouri, but I'll take that back. Everyone knows it's Kansas and Missouri, except your idiotic group of experts. So I'm going to pick something else that And as we learned last night, where the answer was the Cleveland Browns, you don't even need to be a college basketball team. And apparently, Tim Kluse is a conference. So, when asked about the big – so the answer is Kansas and Missouri. But the answer I'm going to give you is another rivalry that's known as the Border War, and that's in soccer. I'm going with the United States versus Mexico.
You're going with U.S. versus Mexico?
Yeah, the Border War. They played this year in an exhibition. Of course, well, that's probably the answer those idiots came up with.
U.S. versus Mexico, we have to let you out of the puppet bunker.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's on the card.
Are you sure you don't want to go to the front range for this one, puppet?
Well, there is a Border War there, too. Yeah.
David, here's the answer, pulling it out. I hate to do this. But the answer, of course, is Kansas and Missouri.
That's what I said. That's the answer that I gave. That's what I've been saying all along.
I mean, David, your favorite rivalry. You don't know that the Border War is Kansas and Missouri?
No, that's just that's the answer I gave.
That's it. You're there for the. We may not even let you out of Kansas for blowing that one. On that note, though, let's go to any final thoughts, John. Let me start with you.
It's hard to believe that our championship fortnight is going to be coming to an end. I mean, we've had, I think it's also 11 teams that are going to be going to the NIT in addition to the teams that have already qualified for other postseason tournaments. So we've already had 9 teams that have accepted invites to the CIT and 3 others that have also accepted invites to the CBI Invitational. So life is not going to end just with the NCAA tournament coming up in the next few weeks.
All right. For those of you that are CBI and CIT fans, all 7 of you, congrats. But
I'm included in that group.
Well, you're one of the 7.
Well, for the CIT, I hate the CBI.
Yeah, Rocco. So my final thought would be you know, it's been a really fun year, of course, as it always is. And I think it's interesting to look back at all the different bracket updates, that I do or that everybody reads. And you see teams like Vermont and Louisiana in every single bracket for 10 to 12 straight weeks, depending on how. And then all of a sudden on the last day, they're gone. And so, it just goes to show you that, that's what makes championship week so awesome is you never know. And San Diego State's in there, a team that nobody had in their bracket all year. So our 12s and 13s look entirely different tonight than they did yesterday. And that's, one of millions of reasons why the sport is so special. It always amazes me how much different this looks by the end of this week than it did any time before this week started.
Yeah, it really does. And my final thought is something. We are going to be coming to you next on Monday with a tournament bracket preview show. Also coming on Monday, I'm going to pull it up on a screen here. Last year, we here at Hoops AC started our own tournament. We call it the AC8. We played it in a rowboat, and we tried to play in a rowboat at least, but the boat kind of sank into the lake, as you see there in our picture from the event. And the tournament ended up getting canceled. Let me take that down here because I've got a little bit of breaking news. We have upgraded, and we will be, unlike the Vegas 16, we will be doing a second year of the AC8. I'm going to put it right up on the screen here. This is our bracket again for the 2018 AC8. And, David, look at our new boat. We've got our picture.
All right.
There. Nice flat surface, perfect for playing basketball on.
Chad, I can't help but think that maybe you should splurge a little more when trying to find a venue.
It's flat.
I think you just go out and just find whatever. I don't think this is going to work again. But anyway, we will be announcing the field. Is it tonight or Monday we're doing that?
Monday night on our tournament preview show, we will also be announcing the field for the 2018 AC8, sending out the invitations. The field will be thrown in, including having a MEAC bonus game once again. We always love our MEAC bonus games.
Yep.
David, let me go to you for any final thoughts to end the show.
It's everybody's really excited tomorrow. College basketball is the focal point of the sports world in this country now, and that's going to continue to be the case throughout the Final Four. I love the NCAA tournament. I'm certainly excited about it. But I do think that I actually like championship week more. There's a lot of compelling games. There's a lot of compelling stories. If you like the under-the-radar teams the way that we do, it's sort of like it's first of all, it's a spotlight for them. And secondly, it's very high stakes. So high stakes spotlight games, you actually get more of them throughout championship week than you do the NCAA tournament. Most people probably don't feel that way, but I actually think I enjoy this week and the work that we do here at Hoops HD with the mock selection committee, the video notebooks. It's probably my favorite time of the year outside of this, and in November when you finally get basketball again and we have all those exempt tournaments for that two-week period in November. I think that that's the golden age of basketball, but I'm still looking forward to the tournament. But in a weird way, when we do the video notebooks every night and update it, you feel like another piece of the season is over. And we're down to 81. We're going to be down to 68 tomorrow. And I don't know. It's like being at the Rock. It's like being at your favorite band's concert and they play their biggest hit. It's awesome, but you know that it probably means it's the end of the show too. So.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think we had a lot of fun here these last 2 weeks. We had barbecue sauce. We called the NCAA. We applied for waivers. Yeah. I don't even know what else we did these last 2 weeks. A lot of late nights.
Trivia questions.
And I do want to thank all of you, David, John, Rocco. I know Brian Black joined us one night. I think a few of our other Hoops HD friends came in as well. I want to thank everybody for having joined us and helped us out with this. It's been a blast. It's far from over. NCAA tournament coming around next week. We will be back, have tons of content on the website, and we will have more podcasts, but we will talk to you again at this point in 2 nights. Enjoy the final day and enjoy the selection show tomorrow night, everybody. Take care.